Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is Justin Ficarotto of fame. Oh, wait a minute.
How's it going, Blake Buck?
It's going good. I guess we can't call you of fame anymore, Justin. We got an angry letter. So what's your fame now?
I heard that they don't like me talking about on the air, so every time we have to say we have to buzzer exit now.
Oh, no, it's terrible. So I guess you're just a buzzer X fame now.
Yeah, Buzzer X fame.
And guys, we don't have any William Miller this week. William Miller claims he's hard at work at some game development engine that he's got to do for one of his classes because his finals are coming up this week. Blah, 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 girl. So,
We don't like anyone making games around here or doing anything productive. Just podcast and nothing else.
Exactly. And this is your gaming news for Friday, November... Oh, I forgot the date. This is terrible. And this is your news for Friday, November 17th, 2006. All right, this week in the news, Xbox Live getting on-demand HDTV and films. Sony comments on Xbox Live's HDTV service. DOA producer slapped with sex lawsuit. Nolan Bushnell disses the PS3. Ex-Gizmondo exec goes down. Blizzard dates The Burning Crusade. And Halo multiplayer public beta due out in spring of 2007. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
All right, so Microsoft has announced that it is going to provide on-demand HDTV and film to Xbox Live members. It's promising to have about 1,000 hours of unique content, 200 of which will be at 720p high-definition resolution available by the end of the year.
That's so silly. Why would you say how many hours of content you have? Why don't you just say how many movies or, you know...
Yeah.
That statistic means nothing to anybody. We've got a billion hours of stuff.
But they've signed contracts with six different partners, including CBS, Turner Broadcasting, Warner Brothers, Paramount, and MTV and its properties, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, VH1, and more. And also, the big one, UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship League.
Ultimate Fighting Championship League!
Now they've lately gone on to update with a list of some of the shows and movies they're going to have on. For Adult Swim, they're going to have Robot Chicken, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, CBS, they're going to have CSI, Survivor, and Star Trek. Comedy Central, they're going to offer South Park and Chappelle's Show, and also some MTV stuff, Real World, Pimp My Ride, Nickelodeon stuff, you know, SpongeBob, all that good stuff. But sadly, missing from this list is porn.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't care about any of this stuff. Just give me, like, some
hot
good, like, Xbox 360 porn that I can, like, navigate with my controller. Oh, man.
Navigate the hand on screen. Mm.
Now, something that's interesting, though, about this is that the movies that you're buying are not, they're not purchases like the iTunes store. The movies are actually, they're going to be more like rentals where you buy them and you can keep them for, I think it's like 5 days. And then when you watch it, it deletes itself after 24 hours. So I don't know how I feel about that yet. I'm like they have to make those really cheap to warrant it being like a one view only deal.
What do you think the pricing should be? Keeping in mind that what is the point structure on Xbox 360? It's 400 points is $5. So how much should a video rental be? So what's a new movie at Blockbuster? What, maybe $4? I don't know. I don't go to Blockbuster. I steal them off the internet. Yeah, I don't even know.
I think like maybe $4 or $5. I would not pay more than $2.50 for a movie.
$2.50. So what would that be in points?
I would not pay more than, that's what, 200 points?
Yeah, well, yeah
200 points. I would not pay more.
In fact, 100 points seems like a real nice price point, though. I'm sure they won't be able to.
Yeah.
Make that.
I mean, that's like the complete upper limit, and they've said that even though the price is not determined yet, it's going to be competitive with rental places. It's going to be competitive with iTunes. So,
no, we'll see. I don't know. I got my eye on it.
We'll see what happens. And my other concern though is the hard drive on the Xbox 360, because they've gone on to say that your 20 gig hard drive on the premium Xbox can hold 4 to 5 hours of high def video. Mm. Now, I mean, when you get your Xbox, like, well, 8 gigs of that is already taken up.
Maybe that's why they went with the rental model instead of the purchase model, because, like, if you purchased it, like, you're not going to have enough. I mean, how many movies is that on a regular hard drive for the Xbox? You could maybe hold, what, 2 movies tops? Especially if you're downloading games stuff.
Since it's more like 12 gigs because of the operating system, because of games that are on your Xbox, you start off with more like 12, so you're looking at maybe 2 to 3 hours of high def video.
Yeah, so that's I guess that's why they went with the
one movie and like 3 episodes of Robot Chicken.
I can't wait for high definition Robot Chicken. It'll be the greatest.
And this is especially going to be a problem if they ever do introduce porn, because no one ever deletes porn ever.
It's
like,
true.
It just sits there like a cancer on your hard drive and just grows bigger and bigger until you realize you have 500 megabytes left and you have to record a podcast today, so you have to delete something.
Well, I guess the midgets will have to go today. Oh, excuse me? Little people. Yeah. Little people.
The bestiality midget porn has to go.
So I guess this is sort of the new generation now. This is really the first time we've seen a game console really bring in, like, you know, they've always talked about this for years, the multimedia box, the one box that's going to do all the media, and it looks like Microsoft is really trying to pursue that. So is Sony. They're going to have their, you know, Blu-ray and online download as well, and Nintendo, if they ever get the boat in the water, is eventually going to have some sort of multimedia download service as well. So this is the beginning, I guess.
Well, I mean, sadly, though, my computer still does 20 times better a job, and it's been doing that for a long time. So I don't know, like, if I'm probably not going to jump onto this bandwagon at all when it comes out. Like, I can't picture myself buying any movies. Can't picture myself buying any television shows because I already buy them off of iTunes. Like, I don't even watch DVDs in my Xbox 360. I have a DVD player, so we'll see how it pans out.
So it's coming out on November 22nd.
But someone who is definitely not thrilled about it is Sony Computer Entertainment America Dave Carriker.
Justin Vick, who is Dave Cracker? Is it Carriker?
It looks like character. Let's just call him Dave Cracker, because that's probably what he is.
He worked at Sony, you know.
Yeah.
There's no ethnicity up top. So, wow. Last night...
Yeah, Dave Cracker is SCEA's PR chief, and he's already said that the Xbox Live HDTV is a disservice to the customers of the core system.
Wow.
Of the 360.
Bold words. Additional functionality,
the
disservice.
The quote is, I think they are doing a disservice to their consumer base because they are ignoring all those people who bought the core system. And then he goes on to brag about how the PS3 is going to have a hard drive in both models, blah, 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 blah. Like, we would never segregate or shut out any of our consumers from our entertainment experience because they didn't buy the top-of-the-line system, blah, 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 blah. The truth is, A, he's an idiot. B, both models of Xbox 360 are pretty much a disservice because you can't really hold any sort of content on them.
It's true.
Like, there was there's rumors about like a 100 gig hard drive coming out for the 360. It's like you would need something like that to really get into buying video off of Xbox Live. And furthermore, it's like this is just bashing Microsoft for beating Sony to the punch. And just honestly, both models of Sony's are a disservice to customers because even Sony's jank system is $100 more dollars expensive than Microsoft's hella system. And finally, there's simply no content available for PS3, and there won't be for some time. So shut your face, you suck. Next news article.
All right, okay, we're done with that. So DOA producer slapped with sex lawsuit. Female coworker reportedly claims that. Oh, let me try this. If we had Miller here, we'd roll it off, no problem. Tomonobu Itakagi made repeated unwanted advances, and that Tecmo didn't do enough to stop it. Uh-oh. It's our favorite Japanese rock star developer.
What a shock. The Dead or Alive producer is horny.
So let's we've talked about this guy on the show before. The guy who created Dead or Alive and sort of founded Team Ninja is this wild-looking Japanese rock star guy. To all press events, he wears a big black leather jacket, and he wears the cool shades, and he's so hip. He's got the long hair, and he's just a rock star, and he loves it. And apparently, that's not just the rock star persona doesn't end there. As he's a let's read in detail what exactly happened. How about?
All right.
The woman claims that after wining and dining with techno business associates one night, by the way, you were asking for it. Come on.
Oh,
come
yeah,
on.
Totally.
She and Itagi shared a cab back to home. Oh, come on. Dude.
In fact, you know what? It should be reverse sexual harassment. if you're a woman and you're wining and dining this producer of a fighting game with massive bouncing, what were you expecting? Were you expecting a light hug and then see you later? And no, it's like you are having dinner and drinking wine with the producer of a fighting game with big, and you're getting in a cab with him to go back to his house.
Look,
what were you expecting?
Look, I'm
crumpets. I'm sorry. No, you're stupid.
Look, I have a penis, and I would not get in that cab with Mr. Itagi. Okay. So once out of the vehicle, she says Itagi groped her and forcibly kissed her, adding even, and I quote here, even with his tongue in her mouth. Ooh, baby. This is getting hot already. She says he continued his advances after exiting the cab. Following the cab ride, she says that Itagi locked her in a conference room on several occasions and made unwanted sexual advances, according to, her name is Zack. Oh, that's terrible. And where do you think they got the name
Zack
of that character?
Zack is the news site that reported it.
Oh, well, damn it. Now I look foolish. I love how we don't read anything on this show. I just see a word and I go with it. The article
Wait,
also
what show is this again?
The article also cites that the incidents of the last game convention in the U.S. of last blah, 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 blah. The woman says that Tecmo mishandled the situation when she complained about Itagi's behavior, telling her to handle it herself. Ooh. Sounds like in Japan we're still looking the other way.
Big mistake. It's like, hey, we're too busy coding these massive bouncing breasts.
Look, either
we'll
get in front of our animators and jiggle, or just go cry in the closet. That's all you're good for here. So, apparently she got demoted a few times for complaining. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'm sure.
No, Itagaki got demoted to a regular employee.
Oh, really?
But it says his role in the company remained unchanged and no reason was given for the demotion.
Other than you being a creep. I guess that might have something to do with it.
So basically, who says that women aren't welcome in the games industry?
That's right. Brenda Brathwaite, look at this young girl.
In fact, you know what? Forget whining and dining. If you work in the games industry and you have a vagina, you're asking for it.
I love how we instantly transition from our classy interview on episode, what, 7 or 6 with Brenda about women in gaming to all vaginas in gaming get raped. Oh, okay. So another.
But that's what we should do, though. We should send Brenda Brathwaite in here, and she would just run in there with, like, a bikini and an ammo belt and just kick his ass and just like, castrate him in the parking lot with a soda bottle, and that would be it.
Well, speaking of washed-up rock star game developers, Nolan Bushnell comments on the Sony PlayStation 3. So, in a recent interview with Blah 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 magazine, with Blah 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 something, oh, he was talking to the Red Herring. What is the Red Herring? Is that a...
William Miller, where are you?
Where are you, William Miller?
We need someone on this show who can read, like, Blake Buck can't, and I don't care to.
So, well, anyway, in a recent interview, Bushnell called Sony arrogant and capricious. I think that, and this is a quote here, I think that Sony has shot themselves in the foot. There is a high probability that the PlayStation 3 will fail. The price point is probably unsubstantiated, he said, referring to the $499 and $599 price stickers. For years, Sony has been a very difficult company to deal with from a developer standpoint. They also have historically horrible software tools. For those of you who don't know, Nolan Bushnell was the creator of Atari, and he touts himself as the father of the gaming industry. But really, it's just kind of a toolbox. He comes out of the closet every few years, says something stupid in an interview, thinks he's hot shit, and then goes back and lives off the royalties. You know that every video game that's sold, he gets a small percentage of the royalties?
I did not know that.
Because, like, video game as a concept is still, like, copyright to him. What the hell?
And I find that hard to believe, but...
No, I'm telling you. Look, I'm looking it up right now. I swear to God. Like, he makes a percentage of every video game sold. Either him... Wow. There was another guy, too. There's another... Really, Bushnell stole the idea from this other guy who nobody's ever heard of. And in fact, I can't even remember his name. I don't know. He also formed Chuck E. Cheese, Nolan Bushnell. So, Atari and Chuck E. Cheese is his claim to fame. I don't want to read all this. He's a toolbox. Okay, well, anyway, enough on Nolan Bushnell. Because we've got...
So, moving on to our next toolbox in the news. ex-Gizmondo exec, Bo Stefan Erickson... was sentenced to 3 years in prison yesterday.
Oh, no.
For those that remember, he's the head exec of Gizmondo Europe, which declared bankruptcy, and then he crashed his Ferrari going like 500 miles an hour after hitting a pole in Malibu.
No, was it? He didn't crash it, dude. It was Dietrich who crashed it. The German guy, Dietrich. We got to find Dietrich.
Dude, Dietrich is like Kaiser Soze. He does not exist. He's got four concurrent three-year sentences, which means 3 years in jail. So we're looking at about 1 year out in good behavior. And this is like part of a massive plea bargain where they threw out like two counts of Grand Theft Auto.
So what exactly happened? Let's review the situation. So, Gizmondo's failing in Europe as well as America. They declare bankruptcy. But this guy apparently is embezzling money and somehow making buku dollars off of it and buys an Enzo Red Ferrari, which is apparently worth, you know, millions, and then promptly crashes it into somewhere and runs away. Right? Is that...
Pretty much. I mean, that's probably why they failed, because instead of spending all that funding money on, you know, actually making a Gizmondo... He spent it on sniffing cocaine out of some dead hooker's ass.
Yeah, it says here, Erickson's multi-million-dollar Bel Air mansions and two other luxury cars, a black Ferrari Enzo and the McLean Mercedes-Benz, will also be seized under the terms of the arraignment. He'll be deported back to Sweden after completing his prison sentence, reports NBC. So it looks like it's all over for Stefan Erickson.
Bo Stefan Erickson is the guy.
And Dietrich.
Yeah, and Dietrich. We should actually make a game on Dietrich. It would be like just like some Grand Theft Auto where you have to chase around execs and get in their cars and crash their cars into poles and then run.
You can't let them find you afterwards.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of Dietrich and things disappearing into thin air, Blizzard has pushed back the World of Warcraft, the Burning Crusade. I gotta tell you, I'm disappointed, Justin Fick.
I am. Even though I do not play World of Warcraft, I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you, Blizzard. You missed your holiday window, so the expansion pack has officially been dated for January 16th. So no World of Warcraft expansion this year, guys. I'm sorry. I know you're all waiting for it. It was on your Santa list. Not going to happen.
Just because Santa's too busy beta testing to bring it to you guys. He's busy power leveling up to level 70.
You know, somebody like real top tier at Blizzard's getting fired over this. You know,
oh, yeah.
They missed their big holiday window. Because that's not like a code problem or an art problem or an asset problem. That's just somebody didn't know what they were doing in the management position. They could have made their window, but somebody screwed up. Now they're on the street.
Well, this is Blizzard, so I mean, you know, it's like they're pulling in like $10 million a month off of subscription fees, so they probably just closed down an entire sweatshop of Indian programmers. but I think from Blizzard's point of view too, like, it doesn't matter, just because every pimply faced fat jerk off that plays World of Warcraft is gonna buy this expansion pack.
It's true.
Without exception, it's ever.
True. It's very true. They also says in this press release here that World of Warcraft has now reached 7.5 million players worldwide.
Wow, that's like more than the Black Plague.
So, yeah, keep your fingers crossed, hold your breath, it's coming soon.
And I just like how I called 7.5 million people fat, pimply-faced jerk-offs.
Excellent.
So, but I got an IM last night from former member Poing Jam, who has reported that he has now officially been banned from World of Warcraft.
Uh-oh. How'd that happen?
I got the scoop after congratulating him and welcoming back to the world of the living, and he says that he's been banned for botting.
Oh,
so he's joined one of the 60,000 odd people who have been banned. So I don't know, I just find that it's funny. It's like a botting player, like, they don't talk, they can't annoy people. All they do is just do what everyone else is doing on their computers. Like, it's like the exact same behavior. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, I don't know. I guess you get caught somehow. I mean, I imagine it looked kind of robotic if you had a robot.
Dude, have you seen World of Warcraft players play World of Warcraft? That is not robotic anyway. Like, this is like, I don't know. I find it funny for Blizzard punishing people who play a game that's designed to be played with robotic behavior with robots. Like, they should be rewarded for figuring out the game. Like, that, I think that is the only reason I would ever play a massive multiplayer game now, is just to bot it. And just as a programming experience. Just to see if I can create a robot that can play the game as well or better than human beings. Because that is how brainless a lot of these MMOs are.
All right, so also in the news this week, guys, we've got some Halo news. You said Halo? Oh, we said Halo. Halo, oh my god. Any little nugget of gold that Bungie graces us with must go all over the internet now. So, apparently, the guys at Bungie have announced a couple of things. By the way, they announced all this stuff today, the 5th anniversary of Halo. Can you believe that? 5 years it's been since Halo 1 came out.
Could have been 8 if it came out for the Mac, but I'm not complaining.
So they made a whole variety of announcements this week. The first one is that they'll be running a new trailer after Monday Night Football on, what is it, NBC, I think, does it? I don't know. Whoever has that show.
I think ESPN does Monday Night Football
ESPN,
now.
Oh, ESPN does it now. So on December 4th, after the game, oh, we'll be sure during the game. Oh, I read somewhere it was after. Well, just watch the game. And December 4th, we'll have the new trailer, and it'll be up on Xbox Live for download afterwards. So,
dude, they should draft Master Chief on, like, a football team, on the Packers or something.
I love it. Marketing blitz, marketing blitz, marketing blitz.
Just, like, have all your football players, and then just have a dude in a Master Chief outfit with a gun. Just like, destroy the other team.
So, also, they announced today there's a screenshot they released, which is pretty lame, I gotta say. It's like Master Chief on, like, a black background. Ooh. I'm so excited. Master Chief, I've never seen that before. They also, but the big news they announced is that there's going to be a Xbox Live multiplayer public beta coming out next spring.
Oh, man.
For Xbox Live Arcade, or I guess just Xbox Live. So you'll be able to play, I guess, probably maybe one or two maps of the multiplayer component of Halo 3 months before it comes out in the fall.
That's going to be hot.
That's hot. That's hot. I don't know if anything's ever been done on this scale in terms of demo.
I think the biggest one I can think of is the Quake 3 test.
That's true. The Quake 3 test is on par because that's true. That's a good analogy. It's right. It's about on the same level as that. And now it's with Xbox Live Marketplace, they've got the distribution channel. So mm-hmm. Sounds like it's going to be fun. It sounds like everybody's going to be masters of Halo 3 by the time it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like everyone is going to jump on it just because, like, anyone that wants to be good at Halo 3 is going to want to get that extra experience beforehand. Like, say, like the only reason I can wipe the floor with anyone in Quake 3 is because I played the Quake 3 test from, like, day one up until, like, release date and just played that for hours a day because I was in high school and had no life. But similarly, people who are in high school now and have no lives are going to be jumping on Halo 3, and all like the 12-year-olds are going to be jumping on it. They're going to want to get on it, and they're going to want to practice as early as they can so they can destroy everyone when it comes out. So I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, it's going to be ponage.
I'm ready for it. So Mark, and finally, their last announcement, they're going to be releasing all new multiplayer maps for Halo 2 next spring. So this was kind of a surprise because Halo 2 came out, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, it's been a while.
A fairly old game. I mean, they haven't had any new content for Halo 2 in over a year, well, by the time it'll have come out. But They're not commenting on what the price structure is going to be, but it's going to be downloaded through Xbox Live Marketplace for 360 owners. And it's not clear whether or not it'll be available on a regular Xbox. I'm guessing not, though. I mean, they're trying to convert everybody.
The new maps are 360 only.
Looks like a bunch of new fun Halo stuff coming out this spring and December 4th for that trailer, so check it out. All right, now it's time for releases. Okay, so this weekend releases, guys. I hope you're ready because it's PlayStation 3 to the max.
Bonanza.
So we've got Tony Hawk's Project 8 for the PlayStation 3. Tony Hawk skates his way onto the PlayStation. Oh, that was a great description. GameStop. Tony Hawk skates his way into the PlayStation 3 with Tony Hawk Project 8. Thank you so much. I'm glad I read that on the air. Thank you so much. And now I can't even edit.
Well, dude, when is this man gonna stop? Like. What is Project A? Does that mean it's the eighth game in the series? Because we have Tony Hawk, Skater. I don't know how much that went up to. We had Underground.
We had Underground 1 through 4. We had Underground 1, Underground 2, so that's 6. Then we had American Wasteland with 7.
Yeah, that's
7.
Right, American Wasteland. It's just like, dude, Jesus Christ, just stop. Make dude. Something else. Make, look, make look. Tony Hawk's, I don't know, first-person shooter or just something. Like.
Look, don't blame them. It's these dumb kids that go out and buy it every single year. Oh, man, new Tony Hawk. This one you can skate, like, backwards. Whoa! So, also, we've got Medieval 2 Total War coming out on November 13th. Medieval 2 Total War is the fourth installment in the franchise and features the same empire building in real-time battles, but with improved graphics, gameplay elements, and more. That's a big RTS coming out. Also, we've got Genji, Days of the Blade for PlayStation 3. Developed by SCEE, Genji, the Days of the Blade takes you to feudal Japan where you can fight on horseback or on foot.
This is the game during their press conference in E3 that was ridiculed. Like, big time. It's supposed to be based on battles that take place in feudal Japan, and they're fighting, you know, giant enemy crabs. And this game was like the beginning of the end for Sony.
So go shoot yourself in the face on November 17th for that one. Alright, just take it away.
Alright, so we have Resistance Fall of Man for the PS3 coming out also on the 17th. Resistance Fall of Man is a first-person shooter from Insomniac.
I've seen some screenshots of this. You know, it's definitely a first-person shooter. It's definitely on the PlayStation 3. Other than that, it looks totally generic. But maybe it's good. I don't know. Do you know anything about it, Justin Fick?
Well, it's like, if that is the best tagline they could come up with, Resistance Fall of Man is a first-person shooter from Insomniac. Great. Good job. High five. Also, for PS2, which is out now, came out on November 14th, 2006, WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2007. Now, okay, compare this tagline to the last one. Get ready for another dose of WWE action with SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, the next installment in THQ's popular wrestling series. The game offers a number of new features and improvements over previous versions, including a new analog control system.
That's definitely more detailed.
Yeah, It's not WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2007 is a wrestling game from THQ. Like, seriously, it's one f***ing sentence. It's like, how many goons do you have to put on marketing to come up with something halfway decent?
Well, in their defense, I don't know who wrote this. It might have been GameStop that wrote this, so who knows. All right, what else we got?
All right, we got Gothic 3 coming out, or it came out on the 14th for the PC. The Gothic series continues in this third installment.
I remember we should just skip these descriptions. They're terrible. All right, we've also got WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2007 on the Xbox 360. We've got Need for Speed Carbon coming out on the 17th for the PlayStation 3. Form a street racing crew and take over turf in Need for Speed Carbon, the first Need for Speed game for PlayStation 3. Ooh, I'm excited. We've also got Mobile Suit Gundam on the PlayStation 3. Robots. Ridge Racer 7 on the PlayStation 3, which I've heard. I've been seeing some reports and some screenshot comparisons that the Xbox 360 version actually looks better than the PS3 version.
Oh,
they're
man.
Doing like comparison where like you can see like a ship in like one of the screenshots at the exact same location. The other, you have to be like, it's not there. It's like hasn't popped in or whatever yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Uh-oh. I mean, I haven't seen the games, but the claims are Xbox 360 is looking better than PS3.
Get this description too. The seventh game in the Ridge Racer series is coming to the PS3. All right, so also up we have Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2 for the Wii on the 15th. Budokai Tenkaichi returns for more fighting action with some light RPG and action gameplay elements, as well as over 100 Dragon Ball Z heroes and villains.
Oh, boy.
Also up we have... is it Naruto or Naruto? I don't know it's how to Naruto. Pronounce this, but Naruto Uzumaki Chronicles for PS2 coming, or which came out on the 14th. Bandai brings this third-person mission-based action title to the PS2. We have Warhammer Mark of Chaos for the PC, which came out on the 14th. Namco is publishing the next installment in the Warhammer Fantasy game series. And finally, we have History Channel Civil War for the Xbox 360. Awesome.
Awesome. I love it. All right, well, now it's time for everybody's favorite section, The Judgment. All right, guys, last week I got Gears of War, and I'm here with the review. I hope you're ready. Justin Fick, are you ready?
Oh, man. I have not picked this game up, and I am dying to hear The Judgment.
I got the collector's edition, which, by the way, $77. Oh, my God. What a ridiculous amount of money for one video game. So,
$77.
Well, it's $69.99, and then, you know, we have 7% sales tax where I live, so it's getting steep. It's getting steep. I don't know how much, if I can afford to buy these video games much longer. But, so I open up the box, and I'm thinking, $77, this is going to be awesome. And it comes in this metal case, but, like, it's got one of those plastic sleeves like the Halo 2 Collector Edition, but the plastic sleeve mm-hmm. doesn't really fit too well on the metal case, so it like keeps sliding out whenever you move it around in like that. So you get to the metal box, and the metal box is pretty nice. You open it up, and it's got the first thing I don't see is the disc. I can't find it anywhere. You know, it's buried underneath all the other stuff that comes with the game. It's got like an art book that's hardcover, and it's got some concept art and screenshots for the game. Eh, whatever. It looks okay. It's also got, you know, the instruction book, which, by the way, I don't know if it's the same way with all the instruction books, but two of the pages were not stapled in my instruction book and were just hanging out, falling out. And, I mean, they weren't even punctured at all, which leads me to think that every single copy of the collector's edition is probably like that. Totally lame. And then, finally, you get all the crap taken out and buried deep in the bottom. You got to flip this flap up and you finally get to the game. As well as the bonus disc that's got the extra features on it. Well, let's talk about the story. You're some sort of futuristic time. These little alien things come up out of the ground and they destroyed humanity, blah, 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 blah. You're playing this incarcerated hero named Marcus Phoenix, and you're with your buddy Dom, and you gotta go save the world from these evil underground people. what a original concept that's never been done.
Oh, yeah, and I love how they market this as, like, you know, like, story is everything. Oh, the story is going to be a huge, engaging part of this game.
That's, like, I got to talk about the hype, because this game was so hyped, and I didn't want to ruin it for myself, so I really didn't read much about it. I didn't look at any videos. I was trying to purify myself from the hype. The gameplay is this game's absolute strongest aspect. You know, it's a shooter, but it's a third person shooter, and all the action is centered around cover, to where you hit the A button and you kind of duck behind cover, and you're essentially, unless a guy comes around you, you're totally invincible while in cover. And you pop up with the L button and you can shoot really quick and then pop back down. It's all about, they call it stop and pop gameplay, which is disgusting because it's some sort of gross marketing term.
So it's basically a $77 version of Time Crisis.
Yeah, I feel like whenever I say like stop and pop, it feels like somehow Epic is making money every time I say it. But the gameplay itself is very good. I played mostly co-op with a buddy of mine, and we just had a ball running through this game. Now, I've heard that co-op is a lot easier than single player, and it's true. I played through single player, and it was a good bit tougher. But I beat single player in probably, or I beat co-op anyway, in about 6 hours. Supposedly single player about 10 to 12 hours, which is about average. The pacing is this game's other really strong point. It varies the gameplay up a lot, but not enough to where you feel like it's, you know, a totally different game, but it's got enough variety, just the pace. Like, you could play this game beginning to end and never stop and feel awesome by the end of it because it's paced so well. So the controls are good. The gameplay is good. Everything about playing the game is good, but, you know, stuff like the story just really feels neglected. You start with this premise of, oh, you gotta go map the minds of these locust guys, and We hear about this guy's father, and then we never see him, and then we never really find out much about our character. And then the supporting characters are, you know, they're funny at times, but they're just like so generic. It almost feels like generic sci-fi game, and a lot of large portions of this game are fairly generic in terms of story and plot. I will say the graphics are probably some of the best graphics I've ever seen, but I just don't understand why every single website on the internet is giving this game perfect 10s and saying the graphics are the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. I mean, they're good, but they're not a huge step over a lot of other Xbox 360 games. You know, Oblivion is an amazing looking Xbox 360 game, and to say that, oh, this is just light years beyond that, I wouldn't really agree with that, you know? You know, the graphics are good, but come on. That's essentially my entire review of Gears of War. It's a good game, but come on. Calm down, everybody. It's not the most awesome game ever. OMG, OMG, OMG. So definitely pick it up if you have an Xbox 360, but don't get caught up in the hype that all these other game websites have been enveloped in.
Yeah, I mean, I have never seen a single game hyped as much as this has. Like, I was flipping through my cable channels the other day, pretty much going from Cartoon Network to poker on ESPN. And just kept passing MTV, and they keep having like these half hour shows called Gears of War, which is like this half hour special. And I watched it for a couple minutes, and this isn't like G4 Tech TV. This isn't like, you know, anything like this is MTV.
Oh no! I saw those because on the bonus disc they showed a bunch of those half hour specials on the bonus disc. And by the way, Cliff Bleszinski, aka Cliffy B, as he's more commonly known as in the industry, is the biggest toolbox ever. Oh my god. Like before I watched this, I always thought, I respected Cliffy. I was like, you know, I really liked the games he's worked on. I thought he's a really good level designer. He's a really valuable asset to Epic and you know, just a great designer. And then you just see the dude in an interview and you're like, oh my god. Why? Like, I wish I could
example.
I just wish I had quotes of this dude said. He's like, oh, well, you know, Gears of War. It's like, I really wanted this gun. I thought of it for years. I was like, man, what if you put like a chainsaw on a gun?
Years ago, I just wanted to see a gun with a chainsaw on it to me, right? Like a futuristic version of a bayonet. Chainsaw with a gun? Now that sounds like a chocolate and a peanut butter type situation, right?
Maybe like a chainsaw and a gun. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Chocolate and peanut butter. Chocolate and peanut butter. Chocolate and peanut butter.
And then they show it with Bill Gates. You see that gun? It was like chocolate and peanut butter. Shut up! Oh my god, shut up! And then he's like, you know, I'm dating this girl named Chantel. She's 19 year old. She's 19 years old and I'm 31. You know, a lot of people made a big deal about that, but she's an old 19 and I'm a young 31.
She's an old 19 and I'm a young 31. And I think we kind of hit this nice sweet spot in the middle.
I'm a pedophile.
And we like chocolate and peanut butter.
Chocolate and peanut butter. That's what we like. We like chocolate and peanut butter. Oh my God, you're such a tool.
Like, I've always figured that he was a tool, but this is just from, you know, reading what I've seen on, like, Something Awful or stuff like that. So it's all been hearsay. But I would love to see that just so I can see firsthand how much of a douchebag this dude is.
Well, just YouTube it. Don't buy that damn limited edition. It's worthless. Just buy the regular edition.
Well, like, this whole collector's edition thing is just really getting out of hand, and, like, I'm going to say it right here. I refuse to buy any collector's edition ever.
See, I'm the opposite way. If there's a collector's edition, I have to buy it. I feel like I'm missing out on a portion of the game. It's like I don't have the complete thing. I've got to have the collector's edition of everything. Just like if I buy a game, I have to buy all the expansions. If I buy a game on Xbox Live, I have to buy all the little upgrades that they come with it. I can't. Something in my brain says I have to have it all.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm afraid of, is that the collector's editions are going to start actually offering like the complete game in the collector's edition. Like, it's supposed to be bonus material, it's supposed to be stuff like that. But, like, take a look at like Luminous Live, for instance, on the Xbox 360, where you buy it for $15 and then you have to buy the additional modes for another $5 a piece. Or no, it's like another 600 points a piece. So another 750 for, like, versus CPU mode or something. Like, it's ridiculous. I know I'm missing out on cool maps, on cool content and stuff by not buying collector's editions, but it's got to be boycotted. It's so out of hand. It's like they're already getting $10 more per game with the whole high def thing, because now 360 and PS3 games are going to be sold for $60, and now they're selling collector's editions for $70, and then plus tax, you're looking at $77. It's like you buy three games and it's a Wii.
It's true. Like, just think about, like, Gears of War, I'm sure it's going to have downloadable content, too. Like, let's say they release, I don't know, maybe three map packs, all right? Let's say they release, okay, two map packs for multiplayer and one map pack single player. Single player map pack, maybe $10, the other two, $5 each. That's probably, I would say that's about right for Gears of War. So yeah. $20. So add that to the $77 I've already paid. This is a $97 investment I've made in Gears of War. I mean, Microsoft has the freaking... I mean, these guys have got it on lockdown. They know how to milk you for every cent they can get.
Like, I mean, compare that to, like, you know, good old... Like, what happened to good old Mac gaming shareware, where it's like $10 for a good game?
Seriously.
Like, I don't know.
$97.
As much as I diss on Mac gaming, which it deserves every bit of it, but it's like, dude, I can go get an entire game for like $15-$20 and have a blast. But it's like now I have to spend upwards of $100 if I want to enjoy Gears of War as much as everyone else.
So in the end, again, I'm a little burned by the hype machine and everybody's just going nuts over this game. It's getting a thumbs up, but come on now. Come on. Is it really that good? Come on, guys.
Right now, it's got a point against it also for the story.
Oh, dude, the story blows. And then at the end, you know, they do one of those things where it's like, oh, you won? ? Well, see, that's the thing. Like, Gears of War, like, the promotional materials, there's so much story there. Like, if you read through the art book and instruction book, there's probably about, you know, 4 or 5 pages that tell you about the world and the backstory and the character. And then you get to the game and it's like, there's none of that. There's no story. There's no character. It's like, it's worse than a U-Bowl film. There's nothing. There's All right. So now it's time for the Jank of the Week. All right, guys. I haven't been buying a lot of games lately. I just got my 360. Gears of War cost me $97.50, so I've been running a little low on funds. But one thing I did find was Amazon.com, Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, a strategy guide, $13. Not a bad deal, and I know I need it because I want to find all the codes. I'm normally not the type to go out and buy strategy guides, but There's no way you could get 100% in Oblivion without the strategy guides. There's so much to unlock.
Now, is it even, like, I have not played Oblivion. Is it even possible to get 100% on a playthrough just because there's so many different paths?
Oh, I'm sure. See, that's what I like about Oblivion. Like, unlike some games where, like, you have to be certain classes or stuff, if you put enough time into Oblivion, you can unlock absolutely everything. Huh. It's just going to take you a long time. I got a buddy. I've probably sunk about 40 hours into it. I got a buddy who's sunk about 150 so far, and he's almost...
Wow.
Almost done.
Wow.
But see, like, in my mind, there's no comparison between Oblivion and Gears of War. Gears of War is a pretty good game, but Oblivion is awesome. Apparently, I'm just totally retarded in thinking that, because Gears of War is the best game ever. Best game ever. Oh my god, Gears of War.
10 out of 10! OMG!
I would pay upwards of $300... to bust a nut on Cliffy B's face. I'm telling you. I'm totally serious. I would pay $300 to bust a nut on his face.
Oh my god, speaking of get-rich-quick schemes, just forget about making games, forget about podcasting. We should just kidnap him and then charge our listeners $300 to bust a nut on his face.
But see, here's the thing: he couldn't like it. It has to be painful to him. He'd have to, you know, frown. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, oh, you busted a nut in my face. Ah, oh, that's right, Cliffy B. Ah, Gears of War, this chocolate and peanut butter on your face. Chocolate and peanut butter on your face. And with that, it's time for listener emails. All right, and now it's time for feedback. First, guys, we got a voicemail from listener Kyo Dane.
Hey, this is Kyo Dane back from the listener emails back during the Inside Mac Games podcast. I just wanted to say to Blake Buck that GameStop is the devil, and pre-orders is the only way that you can get hours, you know, hours that you get paid for. And GameStop sucks. Don't join them. If you do, I hope, man, this message really sucks, and I hope you play it on the air and show how much of an idiot I am. Haha.
That sounded like Speed Racer at the end. Haha.
I love it. Kyo Dane, I don't know why you're having trouble with, getting pre-orders. I mean, you sound like such a, great salesman. You know, you're a people person. That's what you do. You know, you're very linguistic. So, thanks for the call. We also got an email from John W. He writes, I want Miller to know that I enjoy hearing about the new/good modeling or any other kind of software development at least as much as the next game review. I at least appreciate your review of Moto 202. Anyway, keep up the good work and blah, blah, blah. Can you bring back the contests? Those were good. No, we don't have any money for contests.
But you know, we can have a contest where the winner gets to come to Best Damn Podcast Ever Central and bust it out on Cliffy B's face.
There's your contest. Get your Photoshops in, boys. All right, what's this next email we got, Justin Fink?
All right, we get an email from Daniel that says, Hey, Miller, I do believe it is you who is such a whore for gamer points. So how many do you have? Well, first of all, that's actually me. Who is the gamer score whore? However, I must report that I have been very quickly burned out by the hunt for points.
Oh, have you?
I have. It only took me having to suffer through NBA 2K6, Madden 2006, cameo elements of Power. I think there's another game in there somewhere. And finally Prey before I was like, you know what? This, I'm done. Like,
so what's your score as of now?
I think it stopped at around, I want to say I broke 7,000, but I can't be sure. So,
well, I just got my Xbox and I'm at like 1,000.
There's people that are like double and triple that easily.
No,
so.
I'm sure.
But it was a nice start for like 2 weeks while I was into it. And then, and I think, actually, since Prey, I've not played my Xbox 360. That's how burned out I am. I'm completely back on my DS.
All right, so he also says here, I hear you get some kind of helmet with the Halo 3 Legendary Edition. Is that true? Now I'm sending all of these. Now I'm sending all of these without listening to episode 7. So blah blah blah. Okay, so as for I've heard about this Halo 3 Legendary Edition, and I think it's going to be something obscene. I think it's going to be like $80 for the Legendary Edition. Ridiculous. We were just talking about
like
Gears of War.
They took the idea of the collector's edition and just perverted that into this Frankenstein monster, which is the Legendary Edition. But everyone's going to buy it because you can get a Master Chief helmet.
I can't wait. I'm gonna put it on and wear it because it's full size, apparently. Johan B. says, Blake, you guys were talking about Labyrinth in the podcast. Well, that film owns. Yes, it does, sir. I mean, come on. Mind-bending puzzles, Sir Didymus and Goblins and David Bowie in tights. You can't go wrong. And he even submitted a picture of himself with a VHS copy of David Bowie's The Labyrinth. Man. So look down in that album art if you want to go blind. All right, we're skipping stump for this week. Do you have any power, Justin Fick?
Actually, I do have some stump power this week.
Oh, you do have some. We'll do it. It's time for Stump Book. All right, lay heat on me.
All right, my heat for you. You might have played this, but it's fairly obscure. It's called Eight Eyes.
Eight eyes. Well, okay. Spiders have eight eyes. So it's an arachnid simulator. You've got it uses the Wii controller. You have to buy eight Wii controllers to manipulate each of your legs. You tape them to your fingers and you walk around like a spider.
Okay, well, First of all, that is not even close. And second of all, that game would be 10 times as fun as the real Eight Eyes. So Eight Eyes it's developed by Sata and published by Taxan in 1988. It's a platform game for the NES, and pretty much it's like if Mega Man and Castlevania like were to have sex and have a child, it would be Eight Eyes.
Wow.
And somewhere along the line it loses all elements of fun. Like when you play it, you're like this like medieval dude with a sword, and he's like a falconer, so he has a falcon that you could attack with, and you choose between these like seven medieval castles with medieval bosses and medieval enemies. So I figure, okay, it's like this medieval game, and I pulled it up on Wikipedia, and it's set in post-apocalyptic future. After hundreds of years of chaos and nuclear war, and civilization is being rebuilt by the Great King. So this is not even medieval at all. It's post-apocalyptic, but it's basically like Castlevania style. Like the main character looks like Simon Belmont from the original Castlevania, and you know you get sub weapons which you use with up and B, blah 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 blah, and you basically choose your levels Mega Man style. So you would tend to think that this would lead to a really fun game. You would be mistaken. It's it's just platform game NES 1988. It sucks.
I love it. All right, well, Justin Fick, I got a game for you. Are you ready? Now this one should be fairly easy, fairly large release. I mean, I would think you would know this, but I have a feeling you may not, Justin Fick.
Try me.
All right, my game for you, Amped.
Amped. Well, even though it sounds like a concert game. Amped sounds more like a snowboarding game.
Damn it!
which I have not played, but I have played Amped 3, which has all kinds of crazy cool like characters and just like this really weird like avant-garde, goofy, like Adult Swim kind of cartoon styled all the cutscenes.
Yeah, that's where I mentioned it. I've been seeing some of the crazy stuff on Amped 3, and so I went and checked out the demo the other day, and it looked all right.
I rented it for a couple days before I went to New York for, of course, easy gamer score points, and it was actually a cool game. So like the cutscenes completely won me over just because of how stupid and retarded they were. If you've seen Adult Swim and the kind of stuff they put on, all the cutscenes are like that.
So I guess that's it. Do we have anything else?
And we both get points on William Miller this week because he's not here to answer.
That's true.
Either
that's
of those. True. So we'll just assume that he's a retard and doesn't know him, so we get points.
All right, well, that's it for this week in the Best Damn Podcast. Everyone, what do you think about that, Justin? Go!
A lot of heat this week.
A lot of heat this week. A lot of news. In fact, we didn't even get through all our news. We had such a mountain of news, we had to cut some of it. So if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or you can send us a voicemail at our voicemail line at 206-98 games. It's, what is it? I can't remember. We haven't done this show in so long. 845-BATTLE-9.
Okay, I was ready to say 231, but that's not it either.
No, that's not it. We've had so many numbers, but this is our real number. 845-BATTLE-9. All right, well, from all of us here, Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.
I don't understand what's going on here.